Many of us might know the name and music of the international star tenor Luciano Pavarotti. And in a write-up from Guidepost, Pavarotti, when he was still alive, recounts the road that he took to become a dedicated singer. And this is what he wrote. And these are Pavarotti's words. I quote, I'll read. "When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Paula, a professional tenor in my hometown of Modena, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair." And so this morning we are going to look at this very same thing that Pavarotti learned, and that is to choose one chair. It is of singular importance for the Christian to be committed to Christ. And even out of the Reformation, we have the foundational term out of the five solas, is this solus Christus, which means Christ alone. Jesus taught about commitment in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, and he said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And so this morning, as we come towards the end of 2021 and look forward to how the Lord will grow us in 2022, we want to draw out personal application. And that is, we want to analyze, and even maybe we have to even wrestle with the relationship with Jesus, our relationship with him, and to ask ourselves honestly, am I committed to Christ alone? Just to give you a preview of this section of scripture, it follows Jesus' resurrection, and then he begins to show himself to others in his post-resurrection physical body, and then to some of his disciples, including Peter at the Sea of Galilee, as they fished all night. And then Jesus appeared to them on the shore. And now, leading into our passage, Jesus eats with his disciples and then begins to restore Peter. If you remember, Peter had denied the Lord 3 times leading up to and before Jesus' crucifixion. Now, the context of John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17 of our passage today can help us to think through how can we might foster in the fabric of our soul Jesus' calling to be committed to him because of his salvation in us. And if we are saved from our sins, if we are born again from above, then inescapably we are saved to be committed to Christ. And so then we are to understand and then appropriate and demonstrate every aspect of being committed to Christ alone. We need to bear that fruit of commitment. We need to demonstrate it. It has to be tangible in our lives. And so our passage will focus on one main point. And this sermon is it's not the classic 3-point sermon, it is a 1-point sermon. And the point is that if you are truly committed to Christ, then it should go without saying that this is the point, that your commitment is rooted in love. That your commitment is rooted in love. That is the point of this passage this morning. This is the single point that I want you to be challenged with. And so, is this true of you, that your relationship with Christ is a commitment which is rooted in love? And this love is a specific one. And I'm going to begin to unfold what that love looks like in a moment. What does it mean to be committed and rooted in love? Remember, I mentioned that the word love is a verb. And our understanding of this verb, love, leads us to the actions of the context of verses 18 and following. And there are actions of, and they are actions of sacrifice and of obedience in the things of Christ's will for you. And so we have this context, and so we're kind of now getting to the meat of the sandwich of the context of verse 20 of chapter 21. And that meat is found this morning as we look at and dig into God's word and prepare ourselves to hear God speak to us this morning in verses 15 to 17, which state this. And please follow along in your Bibles. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." As we look at growing our commitment to Christ, we need to realize that such commitment is rooted in love. And in our passage, we start to find that after breakfast, as we read in verse 15, Jesus began to address Peter, saying, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Jesus directly and immediately got to the point of why he met Peter on that shore that morning. The formal nature of the way in which Jesus addressed Peter as Simon, son of John, seems to indicate that this was a reproof from Jesus to Peter. It's kind of like an upset mother, and maybe some of you mothers here have done that, of an upset mother summoning your child by the full name. Instead of Dave, you could, "Dave, come here," you would say, because you're kind of frustrated with something. Maybe you're even mad about something, something that your child has done, and you would say, "David Jordan Lee, please come here." Maybe that's what's happening with Jesus, making that kind of a formal address to Peter. Under normal circumstances, Jesus often used the nickname that he gave him of Peter to address him. Yet in the Gospels, when Peter needed some correcting, Jesus, in at least three references, used the name Simon. We should also take note that this is not a private conversation between Jesus and Peter. But Jesus meant for the other six disciples who were present also to be challenged. And the message for this message is for all his disciples. And this message is also applicable to you if you are a disciple of Jesus also. When Jesus said "more than these," we can't quite tell from the text what Jesus was exactly referring to, but likely it was a reference to all the fishing things that were around him, around Jesus, which Peter knew so well, having a professional being a professional fisherman by trade, they had already returned from fishing all night long. Jesus was calling out Peter, probably highlighting the fact that Jesus, being a professional fisherman, that night returned to his old ways, which was turning away from his calling by Jesus to be a fisherman and carrying out the Great Commission. And so Jesus is taking this opportunity now to challenge Peter directly about his love for Jesus and also those other disciples that were with him, who were also fishing. And this is where we can learn too and be a part of this conversation so that our hearts are challenged and reflective in our commitment to Christ. It was not just any measure of love that Jesus was after, but Jesus was driving home the reality of where Peter's ultimate love rested. Do you love me more than these things? It's easy for us to love the things that we are familiar with, to turn to those things, to look at those things, to long for those things, and just to do those things. And so Jesus is challenging Peter and his disciples. Do you love me more than these? What do these things mean to you compared to the ultimate knowledge of Christ, their Savior, our Savior? What are the things that are taking you away from being committed to Christ and therefore being here at church, gathering together, serving the Lord in ministry here at church? For all of us, including Peter here in this text, the area that was deficient was the crucial link that ministry commitment is rooted in love. The way that we serve Christ is shown by how much we actually love Christ. And in this dialogue, there is a wordplay in the Greek which is important to help us understand the point of Jesus' questions and Peter's responses. And there are, in Greek, seven different words which are specific, which are defined distinctly, and yet appear in the English by only one word, which is love. And yet, we likely know some of those words from English literature courses, and maybe just growing up in church. I don't think all seven of those Greek words of love are in the Bible, but there are at least two. Now, to help you track with this dialogue, this conversation between Jesus and Peter, it might be helpful for you to write down or at least to remember these two words in the Greek, which you might know, phileo and agape, because I'm going to refer to them quite often in unfolding this passage. And these two words will help us to understand what is Jesus saying to Peter and what is Peter saying to Jesus in response. And so the first word, phileo, which is spelled P-H-I-L-E-O. So once again, write it down or put it in your head. That word means affection. It's a simple, it means more. The definition is a lot broader, and I'll talk about what it means. But just write down if you're writing down. So phileo, affection. That's enough just to keep you focused on what's happening in this passage. But phileo expresses more of the emotional aspects of affection shown between people like family and our friends. And this kind of love moves us to treat them in a positive way based upon our own sense of that person. So that sense of another person, it's an emotional feeling. If I'm kind of drawn to that person emotionally, then I'm going to have a better response to that person. I'm going to show that person and treat them a little bit differently. And therefore, if we are inclined by our sense and emotion toward that person, then we are kind to them. So this word, this verb, love, phileo, is an action. That action shows up in an emotion. That shows up in this way. We want to show them some care. We want to help them. We maybe want to be dear to them. And we get our English word philanthropy from phileo, which is the love of fellow man. Now, the second Greek word used in this passage is agape. Maybe that's a word that you've heard before. And so, once again, take note of that. If you need to write it down, write it down, A-G-A-P-E. And this word for love is a sacrificial commitment. So you might want to write down sacrificial commitment. So phileo was affection. Agape is sacrificial commitment. It is a volitional commitment. And this is the word, what this word agape means. In the Bible, it's a divine supernatural love, a love which is based between persons. It is not an emotional-based love, but it is based upon reason, but it does not have to be devoid of emotions either. It is a love which does not look at the object's worthiness, and therefore, as I mentioned, is a volitional love, which is exercised even if there is no return. It is a love which chooses the best for others. It is a love which triggers a total personal sacrificial commitment to another. It is the highest form of love. It is the kind of love that God desires from you because it embraces his will through the transforming power of his Holy Spirit. It is the love of God, for example, in John 3:16, which states this, "For God so loved," and that word love is from the Greek word agape. And so it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So now back to verse 15 of John 21. We can read this. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" So once again, in the English, we see the word love throughout this passage. But what does that word love in Greek mean? What is the word that Jesus used, the specific Greek verb form from agape? And that word is from that word agape. And so Jesus is saying to Simon, Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these?" And this is how Peter responded. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So in English, we see love again. And then it continues, "Yes, Lord, you know that I," as it says here, how Peter's responding, he says, "I phileo you." In other words, "Yes, Lord, you know that I have affection for you," or "I dearly love you." Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." So the love that's being responded, or the response from Peter, is different in terms of his definition, his willingness of love. Peter was expressing that the Lord didn't have to ask this question. Peter stated, "You know," that is that Jesus, because he knows all things, realizes that the love, the level of affection that Peter had. In all of Peter's impetuous ways, disobedience, and his failings, he realized that he couldn't use the word agape with the Lord. He could not respond to the Lord and say, "I love you sacrificially. I'm totally committed to you." He couldn't say that. Peter couldn't respond by saying that he unequivocally possessed a love of a total personal sacrificial commitment to Jesus. So Peter only could humbly express his affection for Jesus. "Yes, I dearly love you. I have affection for you." And Jesus graciously accepted this. Yet, He calls Peter to be committed to him, committed to Christ, stating, "Feed my lambs." Jesus called Peter to feed or nourish his lambs, picturing a shepherd caring for his animals by feeding them in the pasture, not out on the sea, not taking care of the fish, not going back to his old ways of fishing. Feed my lambs, not go back to fishing. It was a call for Peter to go the route that Jesus saved him for, and that is to serve. To be carrying out the work of ministry for Christ's church, to do Christ's will, to bring glory to Christ alone. Back to that word, those two Latin words, solus Christus. Solus Christus, is that our commitment to Christ our Savior? Peter was called to spiritually nourish Jesus' lambs. These new believers were, by and large, immature, vulnerable, and needy. They needed to feed on the Word of God to grow and needed someone to lead them and to teach them God's Word. To pass on what Christ passed on to Peter and his disciples, Peter was to disciple and to feed Jesus' lambs. Now Jesus, for a second time, as we look at verse 16 now, said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And once again, Jesus specifically used the verb form of agape in his question. And once again, in reply, Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," using the word form of phileo another time. Jesus says agape, Peter says phileo. And this time, Jesus charged Peter with the exhortation, "Tend my sheep." Jesus called Peter to care for the believers who needed protection and guidance, and pointing them to the chief shepherd, the Lord himself, who directs all of us. And so Jesus called Peter away from what? Returning back to his old ways. For us to don't go back to things that are comfortable. God in Christ has called you to something more. To serve him, the King of Kings. That is our highest calling in this earthly life. For Peter, he was to be that fisher of men and to take care of God's people. And so here is something to reflect upon. You know, it is a sad state, a sad thing to witness, to see professing Christians, that they often find greater perceived measure of satisfaction outside the church, whether it be secular work. You know, some of you might find more satisfaction from your jobs than serving Christ. Maybe some of you, your studies, put them way up here, and Christ is down here. Some of you, it's entertainment, gaming. That's what drives you every night and late into the morning. Maybe it's sports. Many things. Many of these things that Jesus spoke about to Peter, they take priority. And sometimes they might even become idols. And God becomes one of the many gods. We are saved to serve Christ, to do the work of ministry. Through the Word, through prayer, devoting ourselves to the spiritual disciplines that God calls us to fellowship, to meet one another, to love one another, serving God's will. The church can and is to be an amazing place if we are all committed to Christ with a personal sacrificial commitment, agape, for Christ alone. It is such love that Christ died for us because of our sin, and he saved us to be his church body. And so the church is the most magnificent. It's not an organization, it is an organism that Christ left us here to be. This is a question for us, is where do you find your deepest satisfaction in this world? And therefore, each one of us are exhorted to reflect upon our main and only point, that commitment is rooted in love, agape, for one another and particularly for Jesus. Well, Jesus wasn't done. And so Jesus this time changed up his wording in verse 17. And if you look at verse 17, we find that Jesus, as it says in this verse, said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter, having responded with the word phileo two times, now it was Jesus' turn to use that word phileo. Imagine when he used that with Peter. Because if I said to Jesus, you know, I love you, phileo, I love you, phileo, Jesus says, I love you, agape, I love you, agape. And now Jesus saying, using my words, I'd feel kind of awkward at best. And so Jesus uses the word, the verb form of phileo. Simon, son of John, do you phileis me? And what Jesus was driving at and challenging Peter's heart and those other disciples standing there on that beach was that Jesus called into question if Peter could even really demonstrate that affection that he said to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I have affection for you. I love you. That phileo that Peter professed, let alone Peter's unwillingness to be totally committed to Christ with a personal sacrificial commitment. Agape. And Peter knew it, and therefore we find Peter's reaction. Peter was grieved. He knew he was kind of busted in how Jesus now responded in the third time. And so Peter's only reply was, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love phileo, you. Because Jesus said the same thing, do you love phileo, me? And again, Jesus graciously and patiently accepted this. He met Peter where he was in his faith. And he does that for us. Jesus has that compassion for us, even though we might not have agape for him. He saved us. He's calling us. He's drawing us to something greater and higher. Yet Jesus, not letting that be an excuse not to serve the Lord, calling Peter to be committed to Christ, stating, feed my sheep. Peter was exonerated from the past and recommissioned here because he was chosen and saved to serve. The three denials, often people draw a parallel to the three statements of Christ in this passage, to the restoration of Peter to ministry, not to fishing, not to old ways, but to ministry, to serve Christ alone. And this conversation with Jesus helped Peter and the other disciples to think through and then to also understand that they all needed to utterly love the Lord just as we do. Not with mere affection, because I think all of us can say, yes, Jesus, I dearly love you. But rather to scale the heights with a personal sacrificial commitment through the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. In order to faithfully discharge the stewardship of their lives to serve Christ and our lives to serve Christ. He is our risen King. We are his slaves. We are at his bidding, our joyful bidding. Peter and the apostles' strength was not self anymore, in return to old ways, but one that would humbly be dependent upon Jesus alone. As we know, Peter was changed. He matured, he was obedient to serve the Lord. We can read that throughout the pages of the New Testament. Sacrificially through the ministry of the gospel, Peter served just as the Lord called him to do, to feed and tend his sheep. And this challenge by Jesus to Peter was a call to be committed to Christ with a personal sacrificial commitment with agape. That's where we need to be. If you want to see this church grow, we need to check our hearts. Where is our love for Christ? What does our commitment look like? Love is an action. How is it shown in your actions? Not only in church, outside these walls, at work, at school, wherever you might be. And so commitment is rooted in love. Yet with much grace, Jesus received Peter, because Peter knew his own shortcomings. And might we also know our own shortcomings. Maybe I can paraphrase and simplify this exchange between Jesus and Peter in this way. One, Jesus said to Peter, "Are you sacrificially committed to me in love, agape?" Peter said, "You know that I have affection and care for you, phileo." Jesus says, "I saved you to serve me in the gospel ministry for nourishing my people." Number two, Jesus said to Peter, "Are you sacrificially committed to me in love, agape?" Peter said, "You know that I have affection and care for you, phileo." Jesus says, "I saved you to serve in the gospel ministry of protecting and guiding my people." And finally, Jesus said to Peter, "Are you sure? Are you sure you have affection and care for me, phileo? Because you have not even told me you are sacrificially committed to me, agape." Peter said, "You are the Lord and know all things. You know that I have affection and care for you, phileo." And Jesus said, "I saved you to serve in the gospel ministry of spiritually nourishing my people. Don't return to old ways." In some senses, it's a call to repentance. Repentance in Greek is formed of two words, meta and noia. Meta is change, noia is of the mind. And so repentance, biblical repentance, is a change of mind. And Jesus is calling Peter to a change of mind, to God's way, not his own. And so all of this, Jesus was leading Peter to be committed to Christ, which is a commitment that is rooted in love, agape. And our ultimate motivation to be here in fellowship with God's people and to serve in the work of church ministry is your love for Jesus. If we personally are not sacrificially committed to Christ, then we will falter in our faithfulness and our usefulness to the body of believers around us will be minimized. If we love the head of the church, Jesus Christ, we will love the people that form the church. And the church, you and I, will be devoted. We've looked at that in Acts. And so we'll be healthy and effective servants of the Lord, because you're doing what the Lord saved you to do, and that is to bring glory to Christ. The reality that commitment is rooted in love is to be the distinguishing mark of a Christian, and it is to be the mandate of the church. And so Jesus teaches Peter that being committed to Christ is a commitment that is rooted in agape. And so when Jesus ascended to heaven, his disciples would cling to one another in love and therefore be able to go forth and carry out Jesus' commission to them. The disciples all had different personalities, just like us. We have different personalities. We are different from one another. And without any binding force would shatter those bonds. And with the sacrificial love Jesus called for, the disciples would become and did become amazing trophies of the Lord's grace and tangible evidence of his saving power. And with love, it will become a testimony to the world that these disciples and we, as Christ's disciples, you and I, are truly a part of the ministry of Christ's church. We are ambassadors for Christ, no matter where we are. Our relationships should be marked out by solid commitment to Christ, not merely for a week of our lives, but for the whole season of our lives, which is granted to us here upon this earth by Christ. We must show love and receive love, lest we fail in demonstrating the grace that we have in God as his children through new birth in Jesus Christ. The love goes beyond words and is demonstrated in tangible, self-sacrificing, humble service. Jesus' challenge to Peter is to be applied to our lives, each one of us in Christ, as his disciples, so that the Son and the Father may be glorified in us. And Peter was seriously challenged in his heart by Jesus on the shore that day to abandon his life of fishing, really to forsake the old ways and to be solely committed to Christ, being rooted in that love of God. Because that love that we have in Christ, God showed to us first. We know that from 1 John. So it was a sober call to deny self, to take up the cross, and to follow Jesus Christ daily. And Peter truly did so until he suffered a martyr's death for Christ. Agape. May we as Christians excel in this grace of spiritual life in Christ through submitting to the indwelling Spirit of Christ in us as we are born again. The Spirit of Christ sanctifies us. He makes us more holy each day. He causes us to be conformed to his image, mean that we are doing his will more and more each day. And so, in this earthly life, there is true hope. Choose one chair. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful. We're thankful that through the testimony of the pages of Scripture, we have the account of Jesus challenging Peter and the other five disciples that were on that beach that morning to challenge us in our faith, in our own walk, in our sanctification of love. And Lord, we come before you humble, knowing that we need to repent, because we know that the days are evil, the days are distracting. The culture that we live in is, if we're honest, appealing to our flesh. And when we walk down that broad road, which we're not called to walk on, because we have been saved to walk on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. But Lord, we confess that we walk that broad road too often. And so we need your help. Lord, foster our agape for you. Change our hearts, change our minds, so that we are in line with your word, your will. Lord, we're thankful that you are compassionate towards us. Your loving kindness is great. Your faithfulness never fails. And therefore, as we remember Christ even on this first day of Advent, Lord, we have tremendous hope. Not as something that's wishy-washy, but something that is certain. Because as Christ saved us for good works in him, he will complete in us and mature us to be like him. So what an amazing thought that we're not left alone to grow on our own, to develop spiritually on our own. That is not of our doing, lest we would boast and we would be utterly miserable in ourselves. But we boast of Christ, of his cross, of the victory that he has won through the gospel, that he has come into this world to save us from ourselves, save us to take away our sins, to wash us as white as snow, so that we no longer are slaves to sin, but we are workers and slaves of Christ's righteousness. That is where we derive true joy and satisfaction. It is Christ. He is the gospel. He is the good news. And so this morning, and even in the coming days this week, might we replay the words of Jesus and the words of Peter in our minds, to meditate upon the mercy of Jesus towards Peter, and to know and to have that hope. As Christ changed Peter, he certainly will change us as we turn to him. And so we are so thankful. We want to thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning. We do so for the glory of your Son and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who is to come again. All praise be to him. Amen.